taking notes, the title of the sermon is today is How to Perform That Which is Good. How to Perform That Which is Good. And of course, it's found in this verse, that phrase. So of course, that's where the title came from. But how to perform that which is good. And I hope we all desire to do good and to please God. And of course, we saw in Sunday school how to walk with Him and to please Him and so forth. But today, we see here in Romans 7:18, it says here, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." And of course, we all probably could, not all probably, but all could say that, I'm sure, that, you know, I'm trying to do right. And of course, just like Paul said, that which I would not, and that which I would not, that's what I would. And he, in another verse where he says, you know, I'm trying not to do this, and that's what I end up doing. And things I want to do, I end up not doing it. And blah, blah, blah. He's just all, and this is what he's saying here, that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. And so if we're going to try to perform that which is good, it can't just come from our inner self. It can't just come from turning over a new leaf. It can't come from just, well, I'm just going to decide to. No, why? Because in us, by ourselves, dwelleth no good thing. And then it goes on to say, "For to will is present with me." In other words, to do my own thing, to do what I will. I can find that all day long. You know, just pleasing myself, doing my own thing, thinking my own thoughts, things like that. And that's just cake work. You know, it's just piece of cake. It comes right there. But then it goes here, it says here, "For it to will in this present with me, but..." And here's that statement, "how to perform that which is good, I find not." And so if we want to do good, we can't look for it inside of us. It's got to be something. Now, obviously, there is someone inside of us, and we're going to see a verse here in just a second. That's the key. But just ourselves, excluding God, we can't find that stuff to perform which is good. I find not. I'm going to read a couple other verses. You don't have to turn there. "But in us dwelleth no good thing." But Colossians 2:9 says this, "For in Him," talking about Jesus, all right, "for in Him," here's that same word, "dwelleth." So in me dwelleth no good thing. And I can't find a good thing. I can't find how to do right inside myself. "But with Him, for in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." So inside Jesus is God the Father, God the Son, Himself, and God the Holy Spirit. The whole Trinity, the Godhead, is in Him in every inch. So anything He needs, He's got it. All right? Now, that's what we have to do. So I want to perform good, so I can't look inside myself and see what dwelleth in there. But I can look into Jesus and see that in Him dwelleth. So basically, we got to take John 3:30. And it says this. John 3:30 says, "He must increase." All right? "But I must decrease." So if I want to try to perform that which is good, I got to get way more of Jesus and less of myself. That'll help you in every facet of your life. People are out there trying to earn their way to heaven in themselves. They're not going to find it. There's not anything in here that dwelleth in this body. My works, anything that I do, anything that I say, anything I become, there's nothing that dwelleth in me to get me to heaven. But in Jesus dwelleth all of that. I mean, that He's the way. So in every facet of our life, in a relationship, now I'm just going to work on my husband and wife relationship, just me. I'm going to find what she needs inside of me. I'm going to find what I need inside of me. There dwelleth no good thing. We're just going to be boom, 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 button heads, flesh against flesh. But if I say, okay, God, I want to make this a triangle. I want me to be saved, her to be saved. I want you to be the center of both of our lives. That's how to do it. So we see He has to increase and I must have to decrease. In other words, we need more of Jesus. I brought the hymn book up here. All right, "More about Jesus would I know, more of His grace to others show, more of His saving and fullness see, more of His love who died for me," in the chorus. More about Jesus. All right, "More about Jesus, more of His saving fullness see, more of His love who died for me." More about Jesus. So if I want to do that which is good, I just need more of Jesus. Some of you cooked a lot of different things. And I watched my wife, making, I think she was making a dressing at the time. And she'd stir around and she'd take a bite. And she'd reach over there. And I was like, that's not on the paper. Right, but it needs more of this. And it needs more of this. And it needs more of this. She could just tell, all right, just by sampling it. And that's why we only had, you know, one pan full, not two pans full, because she kept sampling and kept sampling and kept sampling. I'm just kidding. But it needed more. And so if we want to perform that which is good, we need some more of Jesus. And when I'm faced with this, I'm going to try to figure this out on my own. No. Just reach up there and get you some Jesus and put some more Jesus in there. I promise you, that will help you perform that which is good. It'll help you in your marriage. It'll help you in your job. It'll help you in your friendships. It'll help you in all those things. Isaiah 55:8-9 says this, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord." That's what Jesus is telling us. Right? If you're going to try to do that which is good in your own, whatever you think is not going to measure up. Whatever you do, not going to measure up. But the way I think and what I do is going to measure up. Then it goes on to say in verse 9, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth." Right? So in heaven there is no more death, no more sickness, no more sorrow, no more separation. I mean, that's the ultimate. Down here on the earth, we do have sickness, and we do have disease, and we do have separation, and we do have pain. But heaven, there is none of that. So that's what he's saying here. If you're trying to do that which is good, and you're trying to do it in your own, it's kind of like earth trying to be like heaven. Not going to happen. But if you will let me help you, I can do it. I'm going to read you an introductory statement, I guess, and then we'll get into the outline. It says here, "The gospel of Jesus is larger than our thoughts. When we first came to know Christ and His gospel at all, Christ was so wonderful. As we see Him, we think that there can be nothing beyond this newness that we found and the newness we see." In other words, I remember the day I got saved. Think about the day you got saved. I was 10 years old and I thought, man, this is the ultimate. This is incredible. And it was. I don't want to take away from it at all. But, you know, I thought that day when I was 10, I got all this Christianity thing. I got all, and I did get all of Jesus. I got all the Holy Spirit. But then it goes on to say, "But as we go on studying and pondering His Word, and we get better acquainted with Jesus Himself, we soon find out that the things that we knew about Jesus at first, as glorious as they were, was a very small part of all that we could know." And that's what the Bible indicates. John 21:25 says this, "And there are many other things." So in other words, not just the salvation, but there's many other things which Jesus did and can do. The which, if you should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. So salvation is wonderful. It is the ultimate. But that relationship that we got that day when we got saved is just the beginning. And that's what we said. He must increase and I must decrease. So, a couple other introductory statements and a verse and we'll get started. It says here, "We will never cease to make new discoveries about Jesus, whom dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead." As a growing Christian, I didn't know that day. I mean, He answered that prayer when I said, "Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me." He answered that prayer. But I mean, it's been prayer after prayer after prayer after prayer after prayer since that day that God has answered. I prayed that day that, you know, just to be saved. I didn't pray for His will. I didn't pray for His protection. I didn't pray for His blessings. I didn't pray for His guidance. I didn't pray for His presence. All those things that I learned about after the fact. So we see here, I will never be able to accomplish them all. I would never be able as a preacher to preach them all, explain them all. It's going to be a journey that you can enjoy. So we're going to look at four things here today. Four, all right? We ought to be able to get through those. And the first one's found in Galatians 3:13. We're going to look at things that if you want to do that which is good, you've got to find Jesus and you've got to let Him do it. Galatians 3:13 says here, "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law." And here it is, "being made a curse for us." So what the first thing we're going to look at is that Jesus not only saved us, but what He is for us. If I'm going to decrease and He's going to increase, we've got to find out how to increase. So He was made a curse for us. "For it is written that cursed be everyone that hangeth on a tree. So the Bible says that anybody that hung on a tree, they were cursed. Jesus Christ Himself became a curse for us. So He took our place. We should have died on the cross. We deserved it. Our sins should have put us there. But He took our place. Not only did He take our place, but the Bible says He bore our sins and the sins of the world. He suffered our penalty. He swapped places with us. And again, there's been stories that's been out there where, you know, somebody took somebody's punishment. They confessed to a sin that they didn't commit so they could go to jail for this person. And that is love. That's taking that person's punishment, taking that person's place. But Jesus Christ did that with every person that ever has been and ever will be. He became sin. The Bible says that knew no sin. Why did He do that? He swapped places with us. He became sin so that we could become a child of God. He swapped places. We were the sin. We deserved the punishment. We deserved to die on the cross. But He said, no. I'm going to do that for them or for us so that we could be in His place. So all the other views and relationships that we might have, Jesus rests all of them on this. The other three things that we're going to look at today, you can't have them until you get this one. And we're going to see that some religions try to bypass this. We have to accept the fact that Jesus died for us. Jesus took the sin payment for us. Jesus bore in the sin on His body for us. We have to accept that fact. We can't bypass this one. So we have to accept the fact that He took our place on the cross and bore our sins and paid that sin penalty. But then He died and rose again. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 53:6 says this, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all." So all of our sins and the sins of mankind were placed on Jesus Christ that day. 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be the righteousness of God in him." So we're seeing here, for us. For us. 1 Peter 2:24, "Who his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree." So these are verses that teach that He took this for us. He did this for us. The last one we'll read, Matthew 20, verse 28. "The Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give His life a ransom for many." And that many, obviously, instead of all, is that many is the ones that choose it, to accept it, to realize that He died for me. He took my place. And so we see here that Jesus came to minister. Okay, not to be ministered to. And I think, and sorry for, and I can say this because I am one of them. I think a lot of ministers these days have gotten that backwards. They want to be a minister, or they want to be the preacher so that they can be in charge, that they can get taken care of and they can be ministered to. But that's not the position. We're supposed to minister unto. That's what Jesus did. He came down as the Son of God. But He's like, look, I didn't come to get ministered to. I didn't come to get worshipped. I came down here to minister. So He did that for us. So praise God for His love for us. Praise God for His forgiveness. Praise God for His perfect peace that we can get that passes that guilty conscience. Praise the Lord that He bridged that gap, or what the Bible calls that great gulf that was fixed. So Christ for us. There has been absolutely an interchange of positions between us and Christ. We should have died, but He died for us. We should have had the penalty put on us, but He took the penalty for us. We should have shed our own blood for our sins, but He shed His blood for us. We should have taken the condemnation, but what He did, He said, no, I'll take it for us. So He did all that for us. And so that's why when you sing that song, Jesus paid it all. You ought to think about that. He paid it all. He took our sins. He took our place. He took our condemnation. He took the punishment. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but Jesus washed it white as snow. Romans 8:1 says this, "And there is therefore no condemnation." Now the devil will tell you that you still have condemnation. But if you're born again, if you're a child of God, there's no condemnation. It was all placed on Jesus. Romans 8, 1 says that. There is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. So now we went from for us to number two, in us. We've seen what He did for us. Now we're going to see that He's in us. Galatians 2:20 says this, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live not, yet not I, but Christ liveth, here it is, in me. All right? So now, when I look inside, I'm not looking what's dwelling in my flesh. Because in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. But in my spirit, in my soul, where Jesus Christ saved me, that's where He's in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live not. Which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. So in that one there, we have for us and in us. So once we've accepted Christ, what He did for us, and we have accepted Christ that He's in us. And again, some religions, they teach you to bypass that for us thing. It's all about you. What's in you? What are you doing? What have you done? And so basically it becomes a work salvation. So they're trying to get Jesus Christ in them by getting baptized. They're trying to get Jesus Christ in them by wearing a Christian Witness t-shirt. They're trying to get Jesus Christ in them by their works that they do. They bypass the for us thing. They have to have that for us before they can have that in us. Then we must be born again. It says here, accepting Jesus, what He did for us, now He's in us. So before we can allow God to build that superstructure, as they call in construction, before we can have that superstructure of our Christian life, of our works that we do for Him. We're supposed to work for Him, not for salvation, but because we are saved. So before Christ is allowed to build that superstructure of our life, we have to have the right foundation. And the right foundation is accepting what He did for us. Now we can go forward and live because He's in us. John 14:23 says this, if any man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father's will. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. In other words, Christ is in you. Alright? Then it says here, prove your own self. Know ye not that yourselves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. And so now we say, okay, I've accepted what all Jesus did for me. Now we're looking at how am I going to perform that which is good? Accept what He did for me. Now live with Him in me. So, here is in there if we have been born again. So just like He didn't force His way on you to get you saved, He's not going to force Himself on you inside. So if we are forced, He's not going to force His will on us, but what we have to do is, I guess, let me say it this way. Maybe we have a bunch of different little compartments in our brain or in ourselves, things like that, and He's in there. But we have to relinquish our brain to Him. We have to relinquish our eyes to Him. We have to relinquish our mouth to Him. All these areas, we have to let it be in Christ. And so we can keep one of those parts back. We can keep our eyes back. We can set wicked things before our eyes. We forgot that covenant we made with them. Or we can say, all right, Christ is in me, and I'm going to give Him all these areas. So the song says this, and this is an old song. It says here, O Lord Christ, Thou wouldest dwelleth in the inward sanctuary of my being, my spirit, my soul, my entire body. It says here, live out life in me. Old song. So He will and will flood our souls with unknown joy. A couple of other verses. 1 Peter 1:8, joy unspeakable and full of glory. So if I realize what He did for me, but now He's in me and He's living inside of me, and if we get a grasp on that, the Bible says here it's joy unspeakable and full of glory. We can't really explain it. It's unspeakable. Some people might ask you, why are you so happy? Well, because I'm saved. They don't get it. Unless they're saved. Why are you so happy? I just love the Lord. He's a blessing. He blesses me. You can't explain it. Oh, okay. But it's joy unspeakable and full of glory. Philippians 4:4 says this, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Why? Because He's in you. Philippians 4:7. And the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So if He's in you and you want to do that which is good, you have to accept the fact that He is in you. Here's another one. Psalm 23:5. My cup runneth over. So the true sense of this living is realizing that Christ is in you. Give up on trying to be or do anything on your own. That's what Paul was saying. In me dwelleth no good thing. Can't find it. I can find that will to do my own thing. I can find that will to sin. But if I want to do that which is good, I find it not. So I have to accept what He did for me. And now live like He's in me. Philippians 3:3. Rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. These are verses that will help you do that which is good. If you're looking at it in the flesh, it's not going to help. We're not going to do the right thing. Recognize that if all that is self is going to be bad, but all that is Christ is going to be good. So the prayer that we place for ourselves is this: surrender absolutely to the indwelling Christ and live His life in you. Ourself was crucified with Christ, and now Christ is in us. So we saw, first of all, that what Christ did for us. Now we got Christ in us, number three. And this is found in Romans 13:14. So not only Christ for us and Christ in us, here's number three, Christ on us. Christ on us. So how am I going to perform that which is good? I got to accept what He did for me. I got to live like He's in me. And I got to live like He's on me. I don't know if anybody in here has ever been sprayed by a skunk. But that rascal left something on you. And it's obvious to people. Anybody been sprayed by a skunk in here? I've had a dog. Oh, okay. I've had a dog that got sprayed by a skunk. And it was obvious that he got sprayed by a skunk. And so forth. Why? Because it was on him. It was all over him. Well, you're a dog. Well, you stink like a skunk. And so we see here that this principle that we need to accept what He did for us, live like what He's in us, and then thirdly, we got to live like He's on us. Romans 13:14, it says this: But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So now that we're saved, we've accepted what He did for us, we know He's inside of us, but now it says here, I want to perform that which is good. Goes right along with it. Make no provision for the flesh. Paul's like that. If I want to do wrong, I can find that all day long. If I want to react wrong, piece of cake. No problem. No skin off my back. But if I want to do that which is right, I can't find anything dwelling in me. So I need Jesus Christ to be in me, but now I need Him to be on me. I need to be just like that skunk. It's obvious that Christ is on that person. So we have Christ on us, Christ clothing us with His likeness, Christ Himself as the very clothing that we wear. And again, I know in our day and time there's name brands that people think they have to have. All right, some of them are, I guess, warranted as far as the longevity and the toughness and what it does for you. Obviously, I don't, this weather, you probably won't want to go outside in the tank top. All right, why? You want to have a coat on. It works. So we see that Christ in us is like putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. If you go outside in the cold, you put a jacket on first. You put gloves on so your fingers don't freeze off. You might put some muffins on your ears or a toboggan or a hoodie or a beanie. So you don't, you're picturing me in muffs on my ears. So you have to cover them up. So we see here we are to be like Christ inwardly and outwardly. Now, I know the principles in here that God looks on the heart. But you read the rest of the verse, and the Bible says, But man looketh on the outward appearance. But we're supposed to be, our theme for next year, I'm jumping in the gun here, but we're supposed to be the salt of the earth. We're supposed to be the light of the world. Why? Because man looketh on the outward part. So both are important. And we see here verses where it says what Jesus did for us. Here's some things that Jesus did in us. Now, here's some things that Jesus wants to do on us. It's kind of like this. John the Baptist was beheaded. Right? You know the story. Herod was there and his new wife and her daughter doing the jig in front of him and all that kind of stuff. And what do you want? And the head of John the Baptist. And so they did. They murdered John the Baptist. Brought his head in a charger, the Bible says. Put it up there. But then that same man that knew he had killed John the Baptist, he starts hearing about what Jesus did, seeing some things like what Jesus did, and he's like, this is a testimony and a half. That's got to be John the Baptist that rose from the grave. How did he know that? He was looking on the outward. Now, John the Baptist's outward was, he was a woolly booger. He wore all those, animal skins and, was, and things like that. But he had an outward appearance and an outward testimony that Herod thought, Jesus must be John the Baptist rose from the grave. So God does look on the inward, but man does look on the outward. So we have to be the light of the world. We have to be the salt of the earth. And there's another one in there that tells us not to be a stumbling block. Why? So somebody's looking on the outward. They're looking at your facial expressions. Right? They're looking at how you respond outwardly. So let it be said again that just as we shall never have Christ in us until we accept what Christ did for us, we shall never have Christ on us until we have Christ in us. We can't do it by turning over new leaves. We can't do it by just following a set of rules. We have to have Christ in us so that we can have that outward working of Christ on us. There are those that are trying to get God on them without first getting God in them. In other words, they are trying to imitate Christ and become like Christ in their own strength, but they can't do that. They have to have Him, and they have to be born again. Galatians 2:20 says this, "It is no longer I that live, but Christ liveth in me." That's what Paul was saying. I was trying to do it, and everything that I tried to do, if I wanted to do wrong, I found it, just like that. It was there. But that good, how to perform that which is good, I can't find it in me. I need Christ. So we see here, Christ is on us, will help us in all of our relationships. And we talked about this in Sunday school. We've talked about this a little bit now. But if we have Christ on us, we accepted what He did for us. He's in us, and He's on us like that skunk smell. It'll help us in our relationship with Him. It'll help us in our relationship with our husband and wife. It'll help us in our relationship, parents and children. It'll help us in our relationships with siblings. If Christ is on us, we can get mad at our brother like that or our sister like that when we just look inside of ourselves. Because there's dwelleth no good thing. We can call them names. We can shove them. We can go tattletale on them. We can just not. But if we have God in us and on us, we're going to treat everybody with respect. We're going to be able to dwell with those that we dwell with in harmony. If we have Jesus in us and on us at work, we're going to look and do the right thing. If we have Jesus in us and on us at church, that's why the Bible talks about it, that this is a sanctuary. This is have a hedge around it that the gates of hell can't prevail. But if we come in here without Jesus in us, and we come in here without Jesus on us because we hadn't accepted what He did for us, we can get in the flesh. We can get bent out of shape. We can get mad at each other. But we need Jesus in us and on us, and it'll help our relationships here. When we go out in the world, we're just not going shopping, which they're going to be doing a lot of in the next couple of weeks. Right? We're just not out there to shop. We're out there to have Jesus on us and be an example and be a light. And, instead of blowing your horn and ramming into the side of somebody for that parking spot closest to the building, tell them to go ahead and go park out there. And they're going to be like, that's Jesus on you. That's in honor preferring one another. It feels like to me, if I didn't move, and I have to go to Walmart more than I really want to, but it seems like to me, if I didn't move my buggy, I'd get run into all the time at Walmart. Back up. No, you go ahead. Because, they're coming. They're going to try to squeeze into the little hole that big, all right, with their three carts. But that's Jesus on you, out in public. Letting your light so shine. So we see Christ in us and Christ on us will help us in all these spots. So if God I'm sorry. It is good to say Christ is in me, and I believe Christ. I believe what Christ did for me, and I believe Christ is in me. But let's also be able to say, and I believe Christ is on me. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says this: "But we all, with open face, beholding in a glass." All right. So if you look in a mirror, you might say, "Mirror, mirror on the wall." I'm not sure what you're going to ask it, but you're going to receive a reflection of you. Okay, that's just what it's saying. But we with all open face beholding in the glass. If you look in a mirror, you're going to see you. If I look in a mirror, I'm going to see me, not you. All right, we'd all like, what happened? So we're all going to... Then it says here, Jesus is supposed to be honest. So the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image. So when we look into the Bible and we listen to the Holy Spirit, our outside, according to this verse, ought to represent Jesus. We ought to look like Him. And so then it goes on, and then what happens? From the glory of the Lord changes the same image from glory to glory. In other words, the world can see Jesus on us. I wasn't there the day that Brother Andy got sprayed by the skunk. But if I was, I'm sure I would have been able to tell by the smell. All right? And so it was obvious. And that's what God's saying here. Hey, if you've accepted what I did for you, and you got me in you, I also want me on you so everybody can see and so that you can be a light and a witness and not a stumbling block. So Jesus is the Son and we are the mirrors. We're supposed to be putting those visions out there and we are to catch the rays and reflect Him to the entire world. And I don't know if you've ever taken a mirror and let the sun hit on it. You can light somebody up. I've even set leaves on fire. Why? Because of the reflection of the sun. So if Jesus is on us, everybody will be like, what is that light? What is that brightness? What is that warmth? It's Jesus on us. Paul did this, but it wasn't him. Right? He didn't figure out in his flesh how to do it. He didn't figure out in his thought process how to do it. No, he accepted what Jesus did for him because he had a past. And he allowed Jesus in him. And then he allowed Jesus on him. And so he was a great witness to this world. So Christ for us, Christ in us, and Christ on us. And lastly, this is a good one we were looking forward to. And that's Christ with us. All right, we saw a verse that said Christ for us. He died for us. Christ in us. And then now we've seen several with Christ on us. And the last one is Christ with us. So there's someone might say, what? There's something better than what Jesus did for us? Yes. What? There's something better than Jesus in us? Yeah. There's even something better than Jesus on us? Yes. That day you got saved, wherever it was, at your house or at the altar, you got salvation. That's awesome. But then as you grew in Christ and you learned Him being in you and you learned Him being on you, and you're like, man, the Christian life can't get any better. I beg to differ. One day, He's going to step out on that cloud and He's going to call us up and He's going to be with us. So we think, oh man, it's awesome to have Jesus in us. And I'm trying to be a good example to the world, so it's great to have Jesus on us. But it won't be anything like when He's with us. I mean, the Bible says we can hear His voice. Right? Audible this time. And we can, the Bible says, handle Him. Feel His hands. See those scars. Touch His side. I mean, He's with us. So we see here, yes, Christ with us. Acts 1:11 says this, "This same Jesus, which you see taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen Him go into heaven." So, I mean, those guys saw Him and was wondering, gazing. But they were told, hey, this same Jesus, He's going to come back just like you see Him going up. He's coming back to be with us. John 14:1-3, very familiar verses. "Let not your heart be troubled." Why? Because what Jesus did for you. Why? Because Jesus is in you. Why should I not let my heart be troubled? Because Jesus is on you, if you're letting Him. But not only that, He's going to come back and be with you. You believe in God, you believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. We'll be with Him. Not just what He did, not just in, not just on, but we'll be with Him. Philippians 3:21 says this, who shall change your vile body that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body? He will. Because the Bible says that when we're with Him, when He's with us, we're going to be changed into His image. And anything that hurts on our body now won't ever hurt again. Anything that we struggle with and sin with in our body now, we won't have that struggle anymore. Why? Because He'll be with us and our bodies will be just like His body. So we see, number one, when we're with Him, He's up there preparing a place for us. He's going to change us just like Him. 1 John 3:2 says here, Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. So when He's with us, it's going to get better than even what He did for us. It's going to get better than what He's doing in us. It's going to even get better than what He's doing on us. Why? Because He's going to be with us forever and ever. No more pain, no more sickness, no more sorrow. He's going to give us that perfect body. So we must accept what He did for us. We've got to allow Him to have every inch of this body and let Him live in us. And we also need to let our light so shine, let Him be on us. 1 John 2:38, and now, little children, abide in Him. And when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says here, but we with all face... I'm sorry, I already read that verse. So, we are going to be like Him. And I keep saying with us because it's going with the points. But it's kind of like we're going to be with Him. All right? He didn't come to be with us. We get to go be with Him. So, think about it. How do I do that which is good? I accept what He did for me. I let Him live in me. I let Him live on me. And then one day when He, you know, He's not going to whistle. I could whistle and break your eardrums, but He's just going to shout, come up hither. And we're going to be with Christ. So it's going to get better and better and better and better. So, but don't be disappointed when you're with Him. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Lord Jesus, thank You for this day. Thank You for the opportunity we have to serve You. Well, we see these principles in several verses that say You obviously did a lot for us, and we thank You for that. So if there's somebody here today that has never accepted what You did for them, please draw them. Lord, help them realize that they can have salvation because of what You did for them. And Lord, those of us that are saved, Lord, I just ask You to help us to live in a way down here on this earth so people can see You in us and people can see You on us. And Lord, help us realize that we can't... In us dwelleth no good thing. We can't do that without Your help. So please help us to do that. But Lord, help us all, Lord, to look forward to that day that we can be with You. In Jesus' name. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let's all stand. Brother Derek's going to lead us in an invitation. If you're here today and you're not 100% sure you're going to heaven, I'd like to show you from the Bible how you can be. Then the altar's open. If you'd like to come ask God to help you. Brother Derek.